I'm glad I read that scripture where it said, been answered in season and out of season. Amen. I have preached in tennis shoes before, by the way. Got your Bibles tonight. I've got a thought that the Lord's had on my heart. Being sweet, I knew the next time I preached here that the Lord had me to preach this message. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. I don't know what folks would do without the Lord.
Amen.
I don't know what saved Christian folks do without them all during the week.
Amen.
They check in on Sunday morning, check out Sunday night, and then check in again sometimes on Wednesday night, Brother Kim. Yeah. But I don't know what I'd do without him. He even wakes me up at night and has me praying. About 2 years now, I finally decided that God, I read that verse of scripture where it said the Lord give us sleep. And I figure if He gives it, He must wake me up too. So I'm just going to pray, Brother Randall. I've been doing that for about 2 years now. I'll be honest with you. It's really had an effect on my life. And the Bible says here in verse number 1, where I'd like to read from, it says, "Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house." That ought to be our goal right there. Amen. And when he feels that it's not always with shouting and running, it's different ways that the Lord fills the house. And thank God for that. "And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground and unto the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, For He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." You may be seated tonight. I want to preach tonight on a thought, the fire within my soul. You know, I've learned one thing from this scripture right here. First of all, we need the presence of the Lord. And the Bible talks about the presence of the Lord and being a fire. And right here in this scripture, if you'll notice, I realize that God can just send fire. If God chooses, He can send fire. He can consume. Honest to goodness, believe that the Lord sent a fire one night and burned up that club next to this church. I've got no doubt about that. And a physical fire, and there's a spiritual fire that the Lord can send. And I noticed one thing. I preached out of this scripture 2 or 3 times and bootleg preached out of it, Brother Ken, at several places. And I noticed right here one thing, that He used a man through prayer to send a fire. You know, and I've preached out of this before, that we all pray until the end of praying. And it says here that it says Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven. And definitely we ought to pray through. We ought to pray to the end. We ought not just pray when we need the Lord, when we got sickness or when we've got a financial need in our life. We ought to pray, and we ought to pray until the fire comes down from heaven. But the main thing that I wanted to notice tonight is that God used Solomon to bring fire. Used him through prayer. And there's first of all, I want to say 4 little quick things, and this message won't be that long, so I know some of y'all know I tend to be long-winded, but it says, first of all, I want you to know that a fire from heaven will consume. It'll consume. A fire of God will consume the things in our life. If you ever got noticing, I mean, I was talking to someone today, and I'll be honest with you, the Lord's really, Brother Ken asked me not to belittle other churches, but I do remember the past church I used to go to, that there wasn't a whole lot of fire there, I'll just be honest with you. And I got to thinking about how when we got together as a church at Liberty Baptist Church, how many things God began to consume about me. He began to burn things off of me and about me when the fire of God was actually around, Brother Ken. And you know, I'm not making excuses for my feeble life, but all those years, Brother Ken, I wonder what I'd have been like, or maybe where I'd be now if I'd have been around a little bit of fire. And I thank God for genuine Holy Ghost fire. I'm talking about genuine, man. I mean, there's some of us, we get to the point, and I can get carried away with that, Brother Ken, if I'm not real careful. There's some of us like me that just loves to run and shout. I'm going to like heaven, by the way. I'm just going to love it. I just think about little Lori up there right now. I bet she's having a time, amen. And you know, I can get caught up in that, Brother Ken, but I realize that every fire is not that way in the church house. It's not always like that. Sometimes, you know, God will come in and maybe He just wants to teach the people something. And a man of God will get up and he'll go to preaching and wonder why the crowd's so quiet. And that's just the fire of God. That's the way it works. And then sometimes you can just hear a pin drop and Brother Ken, God will stir amongst souls of those that are lost. And it just gets real somber. And that is still the fire of God. The fire of God comes in many different ways and it'll consume some things. Amen. It clouds when it comes in. The Bible talks about down here how it clouded the place. And it got so cloudy that even the man of God couldn't even stand and preach. You know, and if you ever wonder sometimes, I know some of you maybe that are young Christians, you wonder, well, I wonder why Brother Ken didn't preach today. It's because God just came down, maybe through a song, maybe through somebody being obedient. You see, maybe He used a singer to start a fire. Or maybe He used somebody to testify to start a fire. And just turned the whole key to the service. And the place just gets plumb cloudy. And then God really begins to do what He wants to do. You see, it's not in how fancy we preach. It's not in our message. It's not really in our delivery. It's not, Brother Jerry, about how good or how bad we are. I think sometimes we hold God back because we come in here feeling so bad about how bad and how unworthy we are. Well, we all just rejoice that He made a way where all of us unworthy folks could be saved. I mean, praise God, that's what grace is. And I believe the devil's sold in the back of people's mind for so many years that it's about how good you are. Ain't got nothing to do with it. It's about how good He was. And I'm glad it gets cloudy sometimes. And that's wonderful. Ain't nothing wrong with that. You know, and sometimes, Brother Ken, it just confirms. You know, I've been saved for, I guess, 41 years now. And you know, there's been a lot of times, Brother Randall, not a long time, but I really wondered about my salvation. And maybe I just didn't feel God, Brother Ken. There's been times, Brother Ken, I was wondering if God really called me to preach. Or maybe I just created this whole thing on the inside of me and thinking, oh Lord, well, I've done made a mess and I'm not really a preacher. How could God possibly use somebody like me? And sometimes God will come in, He'll send a fire, Brother Ken, and it'll confirm those things. It'll confirm that salvation. And maybe it'll confirm that work that I've got for God. And I thank God for a confirming fire. And sometimes it'll conform, amen. So, see, some of y'all that just don't ever even get into it, you all will get conformed. You may not be just like me. I mean, I'll be honest, I was preaching for Brother David last Wednesday night and I was thinking about my wife Brother Ken, I preached nearly the whole message. Just barely talking. It was just so low-keyed, it was unbelievable. And the tears began to flow in people and I looked at my wife with those tears flowing out and I said, good Lord, what a shout. Amen. What a wonderful shout coming down her face. And you know, I don't know. I just can't, Brother Ken, I just can't help myself. I wonder how in the world people don't show some type of emotion about a God that saved them. I mean, maybe they think they're good, Brother Ken. I'm lousy. I'm good for nothing. And that just makes me worship to think about how God saved somebody like me. That gives hope for everybody, Brother Ken. Not just a select few. Everybody in this world's got hope. I'm a perfect and prime example of it tonight. Well, hallelujah. I'm glad it conforms, you know. And I'm glad sometimes when God sends the fire. And God sends the fire in a lot of ways, but He does use man to start a fire. Man, woman, boy, and girl to start a fire. And Brother Ken, as I began to study this message one night and God began to put it together, and it's still just scratch notes, I'll be honest with you. I need to type it out before I fall a little bit better. But He began to work on my heart about the different ways to start a fire. And I came up with three. And I remember, Brother Ken, back in school, one of the most exciting things that would happen is when we'd have book fire. And I didn't care nothing about no book. I'll be honest with you, I've read more in the past 2 years than I read the other 50, Sister Renee. Never been much of a reader, but I've become one here lately. I've got about 4 books I'm reading at one time. I can't put them down. I can't seem to get them. But anyway, they would also have these little science kits and these little things you could buy. And I remember one time I bought myself a magnifying glass. I thought, now that's cool right there. Saved up my money, got me a magnifying glass. I got out in the backyard up under our weeping willow tree, and I began to put that magnifying glass on them little ants and little bugs crawling. Boy, that magnifying glass just made everything get bigger. It just swelled up. And then I got out there in the sun, I found me a little ant hill, and there was some leaves around, and I got to noticing there was a laser beam coming out of that thing. Brother Ken, I set that thing just right, and it burned a hole slapped through that leaf. And I said, I don't found me a way to build a fire. I ain't got to worry about sneaking no matches out or anything else. Boy, you can start a fire with a magnifying glass. Now, our problem is I really believe that once we get saved, we're equipped with a magnifier. And we come to the house of God, Brother Ken, and we take that magnifying glass and we, instead of tilting it upwards toward the sun to start a fire and magnifying the sun, what we're about doing is we'll get that magnifying glass out and we'll magnify everything in the church house. The first thing we'll do, the very first thing we do when we come in is the devil will get our attention about somebody across the church that says some little bitty something to us. And we'll get that magnifying glass out and we'll focus it right on him the entire service, or her, the whole service. That's all we can think about is magnifying and blowing up that thing. Well, you know, Brother Kim, maybe they did do us wrong. Maybe there was a problem there. But instead of handling it in a biblical manner, what we'll do is we'll hold that magnifying glass out and we'll swell that thing up a whole lot bigger than what it was ever meant to be. And I just believe I hit about 99.9% of us in this house right there. See, we got our magnifying glass, but we won't hold it up. We just hold it around. We look around and we start magnifying. Well, reckon why in the world we're doing that? Reckon why we got yellow and yellow and red flowers in that arrangement? Almost any color. I'm trying to think of color, wasn't there? I like brown flowers. Magnifying. Come to the house of God, never even have your mind on the one that saved you. We come to worship Him. Somehow, some another, we're supposed to worship Him. We're supposed to lift Him up where He belongs. But we take a magnifying glass and we'll focus it on everything but that. We need to quit magnifying. Here's another thing we bet about magnifying, Brother Kid. We'll turn on ourselves. I wouldn't want to hold mine up tonight. I wasn't planning on preaching tonight. Here I am with a shirt tail hanging out, and I ain't going to throw up my hand, praise the Lord, because I pray my shirt tail is too short. You wouldn't need much of a magnifying glass, I have. Woo! Lord have mercy. Hey, I don't think there's nothing wrong with laughing at the house of God. We might as well laugh about everything. It ain't do no good to cry about it, will it? Well, bless our hearts. Lord of mercy. But we'll hold that magnifying glass on ourselves. Well, nobody spoke to me in a while. Y'all, do y'all not see me? Does anybody not ever notice me anymore, Brother Ken? Y'all look at me. Look at me. I've had problems here lately. How come nobody ain't come to see me or pray for me or sent me flowers? Brother Ken, I've seen people that were so unfriendly and that hit the door so fast after service, never come to a single fellowship, and then wonder why people didn't know they had a problem. If you get around and mingle with people every once in a while, then maybe say, I sure appreciate it, Brother Gerald, if you pray for me. I got a little issue right there. Well, maybe Brother Gerald might tell Brother Ken and Brother Mike, all of a sudden church start praying for you. You just go home, hold your magnifying glass out,
Ain't nobody speak to me. I bet you if I don't show up Sunday morning, nobody will even know I'm there. You're probably right. Yeah, we'll know you ain't here, all right, because we'll have a meeting. I ain't mean, I'm honest. It's the truth. I've been there, done that. I'm guilty. Guilty as charged. Magnifying. We need to start magnifying the Lord. We'll start a fire. Amen. Magnifying that good Son. Praise His holy name. You know, and I begin to think about another way that fires are started. And this fire right here actually is not an act of a man, but it's done to a man or to a person. And I noticed that storms start fires a lot of times. You know, I know over in California, out west especially, they'll have a lightning storm to come through, Brother Ken. There'll be thousands and thousands of acres that'll burn up. And I don't guess we've ever experienced it. We may do it before it's over with. It's mighty hot and mighty dry for this time of year. But that lightning will strike and it'll just burn off acres and acres. And you know, and I begin to think about that. And I begin to think about how lightning, what it'll do when it strikes an evergreen tree. Y'all ever know sometimes when it strikes a pine tree, it'll make it look like a peppermint stick. It'll strip the bark off of it. And it'll zap it. That lightning will come down from heaven and it'll just pop that tree. You ever notice that tree don't burn? It just strips the bark off of it. Don't burn it. But it kills it. And that tree right there gets struck by that lightning and it'll die. The first thing that happens, it'll lose all the needles will fall off of it. And then you got an old ugly, ugly thing sitting out there in your yard out in the middle of the forest and it's got nothing on it. It's just dead. Nothing to it. Good for nothing. Well, then over time, Brother Ken, the winds of life will come along and it'll blow and those dead limbs will blow off and break off of it. That old dead wood. Y'all heard about that dead wood, haven't you? And then for long there won't be nothing left but a big old trunk. Makes you want to go up and just push it over. I mean, I've tried to do that a lot of times, these old dead pine trees. And then sometimes, especially in these old heart pines, the old trunk will fall over, and there ain't hardly nothing left but just the old ugly side in the ground. Just the old ugly stump in the ground. Caused by a storm. All the storms in life caused by that. Well then, if you'll notice a lot of times, how many of y'all here know what light it is? Anybody don't? Good, I don't have to explain that. It'll turn to lighter. It'll get hard. And that lighter has been known, that scientists say that there's some lighter stumps that's thousands of years old. That heart inside that old pine will never die. But you know what? After that tree goes through all that pain and it gets down to that one stump, that lighter stump, it becomes useful. You can flat start a fire with a stick of lighter. I mean, you can build a fire. I mean, you can put enough lighter up under some green wood and it'll burn. Won't burn too good to stop up your flu. But it'll burn. You see, sometimes, folks, we have storms in our life. Things will happen to us. All of a sudden, we'll be going along and all of a sudden, there'll be just a lightning bolt come down from heaven and strike us. And we'll think that everything in our world has just turned upside down. It's over with. We're dead. We're done. We're finished. And these lightning, by the way, these lightning bolts don't come from the enemy. They're ordained of God. It is good that I've been afflicted. It is good that I've been afflicted. And in our life, we'll get struck with that thing, and all of a sudden, one of the first things that'll happen is all the little decorative things in our life fall off, and all of a sudden, we're just not much to look at, Brother Jerry. I mean, there just really ain't a whole lot of beauty within us when we get down like that. Seems like we're good for nothing, and one of the first things that happens is our flesh will die.
You see, the outside of us must die. And then all of a sudden, all the old deadwood, God will blow out old deadwood, that deadwood off of us. Some of y'all got all that old deadwood hanging off. You better be careful. There's a storm coming. God surely intended to knock all that deadwood off of you. But you know what? Through all that, Brother Ken, that thing becomes a lighted stump inside of us, spiritually speaking. Just doing an analogy that I remember times in my life that I've been struck down, I've been killed, I've been stripped. I've sat there so ugly, how in the world could I ever be effective for the Lord after what I've been through, after what I look like, after what people must think about me? And then if that don't beat it all, I get down to a nothing, just an old stump, an old ugly stump. And then the Lord, He'll grab that, jerk that lighted knot up out of that log, and He'll take that old axe and He'll whack it. Lord, here comes some more pain. He'll whack it and He'll take a chunk off of it and He'll build a fire with it. And then God, He'll whack and He'll cut another piece off of that stump. You see, He kills our flesh where He can use us to start a fire. He strikes us from heaven where we can be useful to Him. And God help us tonight. Some of us sitting around us, no lighter to stop by feeling sorry for ourselves instead of letting the Lord just take and use us. I pray He'll use me up, Brother Ken. I pray He'll whittle me down to that last piece. And I hope when He gets to that last piece, He'll start a fire from heaven. I hope He'll use me to the end. Last of my, I hope He uses me up. I don't want anything left when this life is over with. I don't want to play. You see, fires caused by storms. You know, if you notice something about that lighter, notice the smell of it. You're an idiot if you don't like the smell of lighter. I'm sorry, you just are. That stuff smells good. How many of you ever went to the cabin up in the mountains and walked, oh, that smells so good. You know why? Heart pain everywhere. You smell that good lighter. You know, an old sap. That sap's got to be broke before you can smell it. You know, you won't smell that lighter stump until you hit it. You see, God likes what He's smelling when He does that. And you ever notice that when you burn it, how much smoke it makes? Old heart pine, it'll really smoke things up, won't it? Get cloudy. You see, the Lord knows exactly what He's doing with you. I guess what I want to say right here is that Liberty Baptist Church and all you in here, every storm you've ever been through in your life, every problem you've ever had, every death that's come your way, every sickness that's come your way, every sorrow you've ever had, every family problem you've ever had, every quarrel you've ever had, every bit of it was allowed by the Lord God Himself to create something in you that could be used. You see, some of you right now wonder, why am I going through all this? Why do I have to do this, God? Why would this happen to me? And some of you ain't going through nothing. Because you've never really submitted yourself to the Lord. You've got an easy ride. You've never asked God to use you. You've asked God to use you, He's going to use you. But let me tell you what He's going to do. You're going to feel like He's abusing you. I like what Brother Ken said. He said, we pray for the Lord to use us, and then we have to tell everybody we feel used. You see, God's not going to use you and lift you up and make a God out of you. He's not going to lift you up and make you real pretty for the whole world. I got news for Joel Smiley Osteen. It ain't like that. Matter of fact, I'll tell you what, the way I'm dressed tonight's probably a pretty good indication of what somebody looks like when God goes to send the storms their way where He can use them. Some of you wonder, why in the world have I had to go through all these storms? Why? You know, Brother Ken, I guess there probably ain't a soul in here that don't know what happened to me in my first marriage. You see, I look back now, and God sent a bolt of lightning He zapped me. I've never been zapped that hard in my life. Probably never will, Brother Ken. You know, all these years since then, Brother Mike, I've said, God, why? Why, Lord? I don't understand this, Lord. Why would you call me to preach and then 1 year later send a storm? I mean, I've asked why many a time, I'll be honest with you. And then if that wasn't enough, that he's at me, he began knocking all them old dead limbs off of me. More storms coming and more things are blowing. Knocking all that old ugly off of me. Brother Kent, I'll be honest with you, God's killed my flesh. I mean, there's a lot of things I just don't have no flesh about no more. I'm just old, naked. You see them old trees when all the bark falls off of them? They just plumb ugly. That's me tonight. That's how I stand before you tonight. Brother Ken, what I didn't realize is he was creating a heart.
Right. Absolutely.
He was creating a lighter stump. And I ain't here to preach about me, but I want to tell you something, Brother Mike. God created a lighter stump in me that's real. You see, he's given me a minister now that I have a heart for. It's real. You know, now, Brother Ken, he can just take me and he can just take a little old chip and knock it off. I pray he'll do it Saturday night. Just take a little old chip and break it off. Had a preacher man send me a young couple that's about to get married Saturday night. He said, hey, take it. I said, I don't. A lot of preachers might, but see, God's given me a heart for that. It don't bother me one bit. I love it. I love it. It's an honor. I'd gladly give up my Saturday night going out to eat to help somebody. You see, God has got something in your life, your life, and your life, and your life. He's got a purpose for you. He's got something He wants to do to you to build a fire down at the house of God or at your workplace. Or wherever you play or your family, God's wanting to start a fire with you. It's not just preachers. It's not just singers and it's not just teachers. Somebody's just got to tell them. Somebody's got to feel a tug in their heart. You see, God's got to give you a heart for it. You feel a tug in your heart and then you tell them about the Lord. You see, God has you to go through things on purpose. He's not a bit surprised tonight, Brother Ken. He's not at all surprised. He's not surprised by who's not here, by who is here. I was a lot more surprised than the Lord that I'm preaching tonight. Brother Ken texted me a while ago. Thank you, Brother Ken. I appreciate it. I'll be honest with you, I'd rather do it that way. I ain't got time to put all my stuff into it, Brother Joe. So, we can start fires by magnifying the sun instead of each other. We can start fires as a result of storms. And I tell you one more way we can start a fire. Something I never could do. I tried it. Well, I took Cub Scouts, Brother Ken. I tried it and I could never do it. I see them do it on TV. They rub two sticks together. They'd rub them two sticks together. I never could make it. It'd get the wood hot, but I couldn't get anything done by rubbing two sticks together. But there was one that did. And every time we think about our Lord and Savior that hung on that cross of Calvary, that'll be a fire that starts down in our soul. You see, you might always want to shout. I think we're confused sometimes, Brother Ken. I think we think that if we're not shouting sometimes that God's not moving. You may cry. You may just be tickled to death that God would save something like you. You may laugh. I've had people look at me funny sometime in church when I go laughing. I'm not being charismatic. I'm just tickled to death God include me. Just glad to be part of the team. We ought to pray for God to send the fire to Liberty Baptist Church. But you know what? It don't stop there. It does with this story with Solomon. I mean, that'd be a good way to go. We ought to pray to the end of praying. We ought to pray through. We ought to make prayer one of the most essential parts of our life and not wait until we need it. You know, a lot of you are struggling in your life, and I found that out in my life, Brother Ken. I've eliminated a lot of the struggles in my life by putting prayer in my life, making it a part of my life, not just when I need it, not just picking it up when I need it. But you know what? You can also start a fire by magnifying Him. But all these things that's happened to you in your life, don't let it hold you back. I mean, I think that, you know, God's forgiven you. If you're saved, He's forgiven you of everything you've ever done. As a matter of fact, He's forgiven you of everything you're going to do. You see, once that blood's applied, the job's done. It's a finished product. And sometimes we just need to move on and realize that God wants to use you. He wants you to lift Him up in whatever way you've got. And Lord of mercy, we need to pray that God will send a fire to Liberty Baptist Church. I'm going to be honest with you tonight. I feel like sometimes that Brother Ken stand up here in this pulpit trying to get the job done all by himself. And I'm going to be honest with you, sometimes he is. I feel like he's all by himself. What have you done to start a fire at Liberty Baptist Church? What have you done? God help us tonight. I'm through, Brother Ken.